Start your day, the 208. That'll be Ashur Jacobson.
It's a good joke. And I thought it was a nice introduction to what I'm going to speak about today. In New York, they were considering building a new bridge. So the mayor was responsible for getting different contracts, different offers. So he put out the ads, and then some of the men came in to make the propositions. So first came in a well-dressed Mexican businessman, and the mayor says, you know, we want a bridge built. What can you do for us? So he said, well, I can get you a bridge built for $1 million. So the mayor's a bit shocked by the price, and he said, $1 million? Well, could you please justify that expense for us? He says, yes, well, of course, I got my workers and materials, and half of it will be for me. So he says, what? He says, yeah, you know, I've got to organize it. So the mayor says, okay, I'll consider what you're saying, but we'll be in touch if there's any need. So he goes out. So the next guy who comes in is, again, a very well-dressed businessman. He's an Italian. And the mayor says, what can you offer? So he says, I can build a bridge for $2 million. So the mayor says, you know, realizes the other guy could do it for less. He says, well, can you please justify that? So he says, yes. Well, we have all of our workmen are trained artisans. They're people who are all certified. They've been doing this kind of work for decades. We only use top quality materials imported from overseas. And, of course, half of the money is for me. So the mayor once again says, okay, we'll put it with the other suggestions and we'll get back to you. So in comes a Yid. The Yid says, okay, well, what can you offer us? He says, we can build this bridge for $3 million. So the mayor doesn't even really get much of that. He says, can I just speak to the mayor in private for a moment? I can explain why it's this cost. They go have a private conference. They come back, and the mayor takes his gavel, whatever it is, and says, claps on the desk. He says, it's going to be done by this Jew. So I can't believe it. They turned to the Jew on the way out and said, how did you do that? He said, you know, the key to life is thinking of others. So I explained to the mayor, look, there'll be $1 million for you, $1 million for me, and $1 million to get the Mexicans to build the bridge. So of course he was happy. So but the yesod that the mayor, that the Yid had was absolutely right. Thinking of others is the key to success. So in light of the current events, I wanted to speak today about the power of achdus, because we're going to bring you some very beautiful Gemaras and Maamarim that bring out this point, the power of thinking of others. Bifrat, we know that what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, so you can say, well, we're a long way off. Maybe some of us have children there, so our thoughts are with them. But even if not, so we're supposed to take this time and not look at it as somebody else's issue, but rather it's our issue to both daven for the matzav, Baruch Hashem, things are going in a way that, you know, I think people are amazed by how relatively speaking, things are not going as badly as our enemies had hoped by a long stretch, and we should share the gratitude to Hashem that things are, it's a Yeshua for Klal Yisrael, and be a part of the Achdus, and realize we're seeing some amazing chesodim of Hashem. So the elements of what's happening in Eretz Yisrael, the Chofetz Chaim speaks about in Sefer Avos Chesed, based on the Tanna Bei Eliyahu. And he says, there was a parallel when the Yidden were in Mitzrayim, and I'll quote to you some of the Lashon. The Tanna Bei Eliyahu says that there's something that brings the Yidden together more than a lot of other things, which maybe we've heard in other contexts, but there's a very interesting Medrash. It says, "V'yotz Mitzrayim, mitzvah achas haisu yadam." When the Yidden were going out of Egypt, there was one mitzvah that they had, was a shvitz mitzvah, and it was noyach lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, harbe yosu memeya mitzvahs. It was even greater than 100 mitzvahs. So who wouldn't like a mitzvah worth, if we can't really quantify mitzvahs, but this was considered by this medrash, 100 times greater than many other mitzvahs. So the medrash asked, what was a mitzvah? Ma'u a mitzvah, shahayis b'yadam, what was this great mitzvah that they had? So it says, she'asu kula maguda achas, that even though they were in the lowness of Mitzrayim, they were suffering in Mitzrayim, they said, we're going to make ourselves into one group. They decided we're going to do chasadim with one another. So the Chofetz Chaim explains, what was the push? The push was that they were in Mitzrayim, power was making tougher and tougher gezeiras, they were suffering more and more. They tried all their political connections, They tried all the shabbos they could think of. Who could they speak to? How could they, butter up the taskmasters to make them less brutal? Nothing was happening. They couldn't get anywhere. So they thought, "This, what can we do? What can we do to make our situation better?" So the Chofetz Chaim explains that they decided with the following, and the Medrash explains how it works. They decided by being nishtatif with one another, making a bris with one another to do chesed. This is the Lashon of the Medrash. Memela loy hayetzarecha kodesh boruch lifnos letzarecha lachas vachas. Hashem didn't have to deal with each individual's problem, because it's all of our problems. So, what did Hashem do? So it says, Hashem dealt with it as one communal problem. He says, you're not individuals that need this Yeshua, you're all as a group needing the Yeshua. It says, the Medrash at the end, v'yedua deskusa rabim godol meskusa yochit. Because the skus of the Rabbim is so much greater than the skus of the Yachid, that in that merit they were to a Yeshua. So now a person could say, okay, it's a nice message. You know, we'd all like to be a part of this Achdus, but am I really the man for this team? You know, the other people who can do a lot better job or whatever, their davening is more effective, their hasmada is greater, whatever it is that we're going to cast dispersions on our own abilities. But in this week's parsha, we see how wrong that is. Because there's a Gemara in Megillah and other places as well, based on a pasuk in this week's parsha, where it speaks about the Meraglim. Now, from the Meraglim we learn many things, but one of the interesting things we learn from them is the Gemara in Megillah says, where do we know that a Davar Shebe Kedusha you need 10 men? There's a famous Gemara. Where do we know that you need a minion? Where does that come from? So who would you thought we learn from? Well, the Gemara in Megillah says we learn from the Meraglim. Right, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, where do we see that Kiddush Hashem, meaning some things with the Dorm Shukadusha, where do we need a minion? It says the Pasuk, Niskadashti B'Soch B'nei Yisrael, that's not in this week's Parsha. It says, well, so you want a Kiddush Hashem in the middle of Klal Yisrael. What is the middle of Klal Yisrael? So the two Gezeirah Shavas, one is Toch Toch, one is Eda Eda, but at the end, it says we learn from the Pasuk in this week's Parsha, Ad Masayin Le'eda Hara Hazos. So the Eda, a group of 10, this Eda, is wicked Eda, they were 10, so to we learn that's how you're always going to make a Davar Shebe Kedusha with 10. So now, this is a well-known vort, and people here are nodding and say, yeah, we know this, we've heard this. So, but let's just say the vort, and then I'll point out a Kiddush that maybe we don't know, that the basic idea is, this was not a group gathering to do good. This was a group gathering to say Lashon Hara. And yet, they had the power of an Eda. So the Kol V'Chomer is obviously, when we gather together, we join in with the group, even if we're just the average, the Beinoni, we're not talking about Tzaddikim, we just weren't Rishayim like this group, they were called an Eda Hara, they were called wicked. So we're all in a totally different level than that. And how much more so when we join the group of Klal Yisrael to Poel Yeshua's, so we have that Koyach, we are an Eda, we have the ability, so don't have to sell ourselves short. Now I always thought this was a nice vort, and okay, we get the message, but I saw a Sefer Sifsei Sekhomim points out, if you learn the Yerushalmi, which I hadn't learned, it says Yerushalmi and Brachos brings the same Gemara, but then it quotes a different Pasuk, and I'm going to open this question up to those of you who want to quickly scan your way through the Chumash in your minds. Where else do we find a group of 10 that we could have brought a proof that there's a group of 10 that's an Eda? There's a group that is, this is considered a hush of a group, and anybody's welcome to call up there. Okay, what did you say? I heard one answer, which actually was, but I couldn't hear another answer. But what do you? Sorry. Where was the 10? So I'm here. Maybe because my hearing's not so good, but I'm hearing the answer that actually is the answer that you show me. But then maybe the other answer, but I just can't hear what people are saying. What do you mean by the shvatim? Where do we see by the shvatim that they were 10? They sold Yosef, but okay, there's actually a pasuk that refers to them, because I told you the Gezeir Shavar of Toich. Toich, Toich, there's another pasuk that refers to the Shvatim using that same Lashon of Toich, and Yishami says, we're going to make the Gezeir Shavar from that word. And the pasuk is, V'yavoi b'nei Yisrael lishbor b'soich haboim. They came to buy food in Mitzrayim, and we have the word b'soich, but it is the Shvatim. The 10 Shvatim, when they came to Mitzrayim, the Yishami says, Ma Toich omer lahala nasara afka nasara. We learn from there, says Rishami, that's the source that we know that Eda is 10 for Dvarim Shebe Kedusha. So now we know, when the Bavli and the Yishami say different things, the Bavli knew what the Rishami could have answered, and it didn't answer that way. So why didn't it say, Pasuk, if you're going to learn from someone, so learn from the Shvatim, learn from people who are the Shvitz, good example of how to make an Eda. So the suggestion would be that the Bavli knew that you could learn from that Pasuk, but it didn't want to learn from the Pasuk. It's not just a nice Vorsh that we're saying that this, the Eda of the Meraglim, we can make a Kol V'Chomer, and we see that we're even they could make a group, but we could also make a group. It seems to me that that is exactly the Bavli's point. There were tzaddikim who were called an Eda, but we want to learn from the Shoim. It's not by chance. That's exactly what we're bringing out, that if they could be a group, if they can be a mush of a group for the Vorm Shem Kedusha, so Achas Kama Bakama we can. It's not just like a cute vorts. It's actually, this is the Machalikas Bavli and Yishalmi. So I want to bring out another idea of the power, the power of what Achdus can do. This is a famous Gemara in Shabbos. I'm sorry, I'm quoting some famous things today, but I'm trying to bring out new Nakudas. The Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Aleph speaks about a ger who seems like a nudnik. He's a nochri, he comes to be Megayer, and as you learn the Daf, we've just met the two men with the bet. The two men with the bet step, the one says, can I get Hillel? I can get Hillel angry. The one says, no, you can't. Yes, I can. Anyway, goes on, finds that I'm going to do it. So he goes and he asks these ridiculous questions about round eyes and flat feet and whatever else, and keeps pulling Hillel out of the shower. And every time Hillel is oymed in the soyan and doesn't get angry, Gemara ends, he says, better that I shouldn't get angry, you should lose your 400 zuz, and then we move down the daf. So then we meet another seeming nudnik, because he's on the same page as people who are trying to drive Hillel crazy. And once again, people come with questions to drive Hillel crazy. So in one of the maisim, it says, Shuv maisa benochri echad, a Gentile comes, and so he goes to Shammai, and Shammai, you could learn the Gemara, Shammai gives him the stick to get him out of there, but it's not so posh that that's what's going on. And he says, to Shammai is weird condition for Geirus. He says, tell me the whole Torah while I'm standing on one foot. Yeah, so he did actually, I'm standing on one foot. Which is kind of nutcase. What do you mean, as I'm standing on one foot? Why do you want to do that? Are you trying to catch a bus? You don't have time to, it doesn't take you any longer to stand on 2 feet than on 1 foot. Obviously, it means the posh pshat is he's going to fall over, but who wants to learn like that? Have you ever met anybody trying to learn something worthwhile on 1 foot? So many of us, as we learned the Gemara, including myself, we just learned about one guy driving Hillel crazy earlier in the daf. So we read, this is another person, and sure enough, Shammai gives him the Amos Abinyan, which, okay, you could say he gave him a stick to, you know, get out of here, but it's not what they say. I think it's the Marshal says, and he's telling him, you can't build things on one foot, on one base. You have to have, buildings are built on multiple foundations. You need something stronger than that. So he wasn't just giving him a stick and chasing him out the room. But anyway, all these Gemaras, you have to understand, there's Amkas to them. So that was by Shammai. Then he comes to Hillel, and he gives the same condition, and he says, will he do it? Hillel says, yes, I'll do it. And then he answers, whatever is hated to you, don't do to others. This is the entire Torah. The Edah Pirshua, the rest is an explanation. Zil Gomor, go learn. Fine. So now, we come away and we say, okay, Hillel, you were omid once again with a nudnik. Very good. We're amazed. People come to you with crazy questions and you deal with it. So, but we have to remember, it's not the way of Gemara to record conversations of silly questions. The Gemara above, the two men had to explain, why are we asking Hillel silly questions? They said, because we had a bet. We want to see how far we could push you. This Gemara does not say anything about this Nochri who came was trying to test Hillel's abilities. It just, he asks a question, Hillel gives an answer, and we move on. So now here's the question for the Olam. Giving the benefit of the doubt to this Geir, that he was asking a very, very tough question, because the Gemara is quoting him, and it doesn't say it was a silly question. Who has 1 foot? We think he's standing on 1 foot, and he's rocking there. Who has 1 foot? Two for this guy's a phenom over here. You're a rookie. What? Very good. Okay, so he's obviously been looking over my notes. Very good. Or maybe he just knows his way around Tanakh. So the pasuk we read on Shavuos, it says, who has 1 foot? Ragleim regal yashara. It says, Malachim have 1 foot. And we live this experience occasionally, I believe, is the makor for when Kedusha, we put our feet together. We're imitating Malachim. We try to stand in a way that we're like Malachim, saying, Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. In any event, so what was the question then? Why did he come to Hillel and say, "Teach me, I want to be MacGyver, teach me the whole Torah on one foot"? What's the connection to Malachim? So this is based on something I saw in the Svas Emes. He says, with my understanding, maybe some of my own additions to what he was saying, is he says, you know how vast the Torah is? This Nachri comes and says, you expect me to learn the whole Torah? You expect me to be a part of Klal Yisrael? You all have this massive, massive Torah. How do you expect me to do this? The only way you could accomplish such a thing is as a group effort. Like the Malachim, they have one of the amazing things about Malachim is they have Shalom Beinehem. You don't find they have big blowout machlokes. Their way is to work together, all to bring out Kavod Shemayim. So he says, what am I going to be? Like a Malach? How am I going to work to acquire the Torah? So Hillel accepts this point, and that's where he says, there is a way. Don't do what's hateful to others, what hateful to you, don't do to others. In other words, if you're Machazek in Mitzvah Ben Adam Chavero, if you work with other people, you try to make V'Ahavta Recha Kamoicha, although he says it the other way around, he says don't do what's hateful, but the idea is if we work together, yes, we can be like Malachim. And you're right, he's validating this Ger's question. That is the only way we'll get the Torah. It's not pshat that that's a nice Tosefis, that if you work together, you'll know more Torah, you'll be a part of something bigger. No, this is the only way. If you want to be Magai, if you want to know Kol HaTorah, if we all want to know Kol HaTorah Kula, the only way is if we do it as a group, through Achdus. So, I just want to bring out, this is interesting, because we say, again, we can be self-doubting, say, well, how much am I going to contribute to this big project? I heard an amazing story, which there was a detail in it which I think is quite, maybe you've heard it, maybe it's famous, I'm not sure. There was one of these captives being held in Gaza, and he gave an interview, and I happened to see the interview. Someone said, you've got to see this man speaking. Anyway, I believe his name is Omer Shemtov. I don't know if I got his name right. Anyway, he was held for 500 days. 500 days, and I'm sure it was terrible, but the way he describes it, he says he wasn't tortured. He was just treated very terribly, but he wasn't tortured anyway. And he described himself as not a firm person before the whole event. And as time went on, he realized that he wanted to become closer to Hashem. He would talk to Hashem every day like a conversation. He gave a dogma of how he spoke, and it's very interesting how he describes it. But basically, he had a heart-to-heart conversation every day with Hashem, and he would just tell him, I think he said something at the beginning, something like, Boker Tov Abba. He spoke to him like, Mama, she was b'chush, speaking to Hashem. Very interesting how he began. But anyway, so he's spending all these days, and he was just in an apartment with multiple terrorists. And one day, one of the terrorists comes back to the room, and they had access out of the room. He couldn't go out. And one of these men who he had a bit of a rapport with, he gave him a pile of papers. And he said, what are these Jewish papers here? So he puts on the table, and remember, he's got nothing to do. He's just locked up with these Arabs, nothing to do there. And he puts on the table some sheets with like Divrei Torah, Kuntres, Kuntresim, and something else. I don't know if they pillaged somewhere, or if one of the soldiers had left it in the area. Anyway, he says, what are these things? So he looks through them. One was a Tfilas HaDerech card. But then he sees a Kuntres, a big thick Kuntres, I don't remember who wrote it, on Yosef's time in the Bor. It's a whole Kuntres, whatever it was, 20, 30 pages, all about understanding Yosef's time in the pit, right? So he knew enough to understand what the content was and relevance to him. So he says to this captor, he says, these are Jewish words of whatever, our Torah. He says, he's going to throw them away. He says, if you'll let me keep that. He wasn't at this time obligated to do anything for them. He was just like stuck in the corner, just doing nothing. He said, if you'll let me keep that, remember he's not from. He says, I'll clean this house and cook for you every day. Basically, I'll take on shibud, I'll take on slavery, if you'll let me keep that kuntres. So the guy who had enough like decency to not just to be, you know, no, I'm going to throw it in the garbage anyway, and also he wants cooking and cleaning done, so why not? So he says, okay, it's a deal. You get to keep these Jewish books, and that's what you have to do for us. So he goes on, and he did. And he cooked and cleaned like a slave for these disgusting people for the next however many hundreds of days. He said, I read that booklet, his words, a thousand times. Now here you got not a frum guy, he's by his own admission, not that connected to Yiddishkeit, but the words of Torah were so sweet to him. He He so much wanted, he took upon himself this kind of terrible, terrible slavery for people who were disgusting and who he hated, just so that he could have shaychus to Torah. So if we think about who's out there on our team, it's also encouraging that we say we're not just doing it ourselves. Even people who are very, very rochik, and not what we're struggling with that, but whatever our contribution is, it's all worthwhile. And we're building this amazing the koyach of achdus to bring the Yeshua, like we said at the beginning, the Medrash, Talmud Eliyahu, that in the tzchus of being making a bris zeim zeh by connecting ourselves with others, we make ourselves zeicher to the Yeshua of the klal, as opposed to looking for the Yeshua of the yochid, and that is a much, much bigger tzchus that we're working with. I'll just check the time. Okay, we still got time. So there's another two ideas I'd like to share with you. The one is, we've all heard the Gemara in Baba Basra says kinas soferim tar b'chochma, that jealousy of other Talmidei Chachamim or people who are learning or whatever else, so that makes us learn more. And it's a psychological, let's say, self-evident point that we see other people steiging. Obviously, Chazal is beyond psychology. I'm just saying we can understand on a simple level that we see other people steiging, we see people coming to shir, we see people saying a vort to their friend, whatever it is. It makes us want to be more shaykh to Torah. And that's very, very true. But we have to remember that as much as kina soferim is a good thing, ava soferim, I'm coining a phrase today, ava soferim is also a great thing. That means we can't spend our time so much being jealous of other people's accomplishments and limit it to that. We should also be very, very excited by other people's accomplishments. And the Or HaChaim, Parshas, in Shmos Lamed Tes, says the following, I'll try to keep it to the bare bones here, but it says, when they're building the Mishkan, the Pasuk says, V'yasu b'nei Yisrael, Bezalel has just finished building the Mishkan, and the Pasuk says, the Klal Yisrael built the Mishkan. So, the Or HaChaim says, wait a minute, we didn't build the Mishkan, Bezalel built the Mishkan. We sat at home, I don't know what they were doing, learning Torah, whatever they were doing, but they weren't building the Mishkan. He says, Hagam Shaloyas El Bezalel V'Chachmei Lev. It was only Bezalel and his teamwork of Chachmei Lev who did it. So what does it mean, what does the Pasuk mean that we did it? So he says, Shluchoi Shel Adam Kamoisoi. He was our Shliach. So when he did it, it's like we did it. So then he says, wait a minute, do you find any Pasuk where it says we asked Bezalel to do it? There's no pasuk that said the Jewish people gathered together and said, we want you to be our shliach. So he says as well, Hagam, Shaloi Mitzinu, Shasa Betzalel, Elabim Maimer Hashem. Betzalel was doing what Hashem said, not what we said. He wasn't our shliach. Veloi Hem Shluchu, they didn't send him. So he says, we see a vort here and what it means. What does it mean that he was our shliach? Afo Pikein Harei Haskimu Olav. They agreed. It was enough that they agreed that they should do it. They didn't say, why not me? I've also got a good set of hands. I also have some good building ideas. You know, I want to be close to, let me in the project. People said, no, if Hashem wants Bezalel to do it, we're happy with that. And that was enough. So it says the Or HaChaim, based on this haskoma, to let somebody else do something good for Klal Yisrael, and you get the benefit, the Pasuk attributes it to you. So it says, he says at the end here, you do whatever you can do, whatever you're asked to do, and whatever everybody else is doing, you get the credit as this you did it yourself. And he said, if you don't say this, then you think about it, the mitzvahs, the target mitzvahs are impossible for us to do. He says, L'mashal, he just gives an example, he says, there are mitzvahs, certain mitzvahs that are only for Kahanim, there are certain mitzvahs only for Levium, there are certain mitzvahs only for Yisraelim, there are certain mitzvahs only for men, not for women and not for men. So what do you mean we're going to do the target mitzvahs? How's that going to be? He says the only way that can be is by being maskim that other parts of Klal Yisrael, being happy that other parts of Klal Yisrael are doing what they need to do. I'm doing what I need to do. However big or small that is irrelevant. I'm doing my bit. And he says in this way, we make a partnership and we all profit. So if you think about it, Hashem did a chesed in making law firms. Why is that? Probably for a few reasons. But one of the reasons is the idea of how law firms, at least in America, are set up. That once you become a partner, that means you get a cut in everything. You don't have to make it, you don't have to make the other people's deals. All these people are working below you, the people trying to rise up to the company. You get a cut of everything. If one guy brings in the biggest deal imaginable, are you upset? Does that bother you that he got the biggest deal? No. You're one of the 10 partners, you get a tenth. So we've got to look and understand, with Klal Yisrael as well, we should be delighted. When we see somebody else making a siyum, somebody else making a siyum, somebody else sitting down learning a chumash, somebody else listening to a shir, we shouldn't be thinking, oh, whatever that is, I could do more, I could do less. You know, it's not my taste, it's not what I would want to learn. Forget about it. He's bringing in the bucks. He's bringing in the profit. It's all going in your wallet. What are you begrudging in the slightest? Just be maskim. Just say, I'm delighted that Hashem's Torah is being learned by a Yid. And with that, it's all going into your account. So that's another aspect of the power of Achdus. And one last idea, someone pointed this out to me, is based on the Abbi Nezer of Sokachov. He said, I never noticed it, but when it's very boilet, Rashi says two lashonos which sound similar but are very different. When it came to the Yidden leaving Mitzrayim, we were by the Yam. It says about the Goyim, they chased after us, and also Achareyim. It says Rashi, Belev Echad V'Ish Echad. Then there's a lashon when the Yidden by Har Sinai, which sounds very similar. It says V'Yachan Hashem K'Ish Echad Belev Echad. Now, if you slow down the tape, you'll see that the two, they've changed directions, right? The Mitzrayim described as Lev Echad, one heart, K'Ish Echad, like one man, but we were Ki'ish Echad, B'Lev Echad. So it points out why the difference. We just basically say, we have Achdus, you know, all had one common goal. He said, no, there's a huge difference. When it comes to the Yidden, we are Ki'ish Echad. We are, at our core, like one. This is to bring out how easy, people might say, Achdus sounds like a very big, lofty idea beyond us. So this is to bring out how easy Achdus can be. Rashi is telling us, we at our core are Ki'ish Echad. We are one. All we have to do is get our lev in line. Just make your ritzonos match up a bit with what is good for Klal Yisrael. But the starting point is you are one. Just like you don't have a debate, your left hand, your right hand, what's my left hand one, what's my right hand one, it's all for me. Just have them both doing the same job and you'll be mutzlach. But that's not so hard. Hashem came by the Goyim, so really, They're only unified they become Ish Echad, only they have a common motive, now we'll act as one, but we're not really one. In our core, we're not really one. They are not really one. So the yesod of that should be is not only is Achdus incredibly valuable, but we should take away that it's not that hard, and all we have to do is to do our bit and to be happy that other people are doing their bit. And with that, we should be zeicha to the Geula Shleima of Gemir V'Yameinu. Good morning.